All right, ready to dive into a story full of some twists and turns, because today we're going to tackle King Solomon.
King Solomon.
You know, the wisest guy ever, except his life took a turn that you might not really expect. We're using Dr. John Oswald's lecture on the Book of Kings to kind of figure out, like, what went wrong.
Yeah.
And more importantly, see what lessons we can take away for ourselves.
You know, it's fascinating because Solomon's story really highlights how wisdom is so much more than just being smart.
Right.
It's about living a life that lines up with what's truly good and lasting.
Okay, so Solomon starts off strong, right? He asks God for wisdom instead of wealth or power, as we see in 1 Kings 3. But I'm already wondering, even with that amazing start, did he miss something crucial early on?
Ooh, you're picking up on something important there. Yeah. He does make a misstep, and it's a subtle one. Solomon marries Pharaoh's daughter.
Okay.
And while that might have seemed like a good political move at the time, Dr. Oswald points out that it goes against a key principle in the Bible. Deuteronomy 17:17 specifically says that kings shouldn't marry foreign women.
So this wasn't just about romance. It was about potential conflicts, maybe even with different gods and loyalties.
Exactly. Dr. Oswald calls this the planting of an evil seed. It might seem small at first.
Okay.
But it highlights how even seemingly insignificant compromises, especially early on, can have huge consequences down the road. It's like a tiny crack in a building's foundation. It might not seem like much, but over time, it can cause the whole structure to crumble.
And crumble. We learn in 1 Kings 10.26 that Solomon accumulated massive wealth, so much that silver was as common as stones in Jerusalem.
Wow.
Wow.
Here's where the Bible's perspective on wealth gets really interesting. It's not that wealth is inherently bad, but it can become a real test. Yeah. Dr. Oswald argues that wealth, if we aren't careful, can distract us from what truly matters. It's like it creates a kind of spiritual blindness.
Yeah.
Think about it. How do you view wealth and possessions in your own life?
That's a good question to consider for sure. But Solomon doesn't stop with the riches. He goes on to accumulate wives and horses, and we're not talking about a few. No. And this directly contradicts what's laid out in Deuteronomy 17:17, where God sets limits on these things for a reason.
This is where Dr. Oswald's lecture gets to the heart of the matter, despite Solomon's initial wisdom.
Okay.
He loses sight of staying rooted in God's word. His heart, instead of being fully devoted to God, starts to drift. He had all this wisdom, but didn't apply it to his own life.
Which brings us to another point Dr. Oswald makes that's pretty thought-provoking, maybe even a little controversial for some. Many of Solomon's wives were from other nations and worshiped different gods. This raises an important question for all of us. What about this principle of intermarriage with people of different faiths?
Yeah.
Is it just being intolerant, or is there a deeper wisdom at play?
The Bible's stance on this isn't about prejudice. It's about understanding the challenges of what's called being unequally yoked in a relationship. Dr. Oswald uses a great analogy. Imagine trying to plow a field with a horse and an ox yoked together. They're not going to work well as a team in the same way when two people have radically different worldviews, especially when it comes to their faith.
Yeah.
It can lead to tension and spiritual drift. It can make it really hard to stay true to your own beliefs.
So it's not about judging others, but recognizing that sharing a core set of values can be vital in a relationship, especially when it comes to something as fundamental as faith.
Exactly. And that leads us to this idea of a whole heart, which Dr. Oswald spends a good deal of time unpacking. He looks at different translations like holy, true, holy, devoted, and completely faithful. Mm-hmm. They all point to this idea of complete commitment to God. But what does having a whole heart actually look like in today's world?
That's the million-dollar question, right? We're bombarded with messages that pull us in different directions.
That's why it's so important to examine the worldviews we're surrounded by, Dr. Oswald. Contrast a worldly mindset with a godly one. The world often says things like, power is everything, do whatever feels good, and there are no absolutes, just do your own thing. But a life centered on God looks radically different.
And sometimes those competing worldviews clash in surprising ways. Dr. Oswald tells this great story about typing in his computer password incorrectly and getting locked out. One of his students piped up and said, "See, that proves there are no absolutes."
And Dr. Oswald, with his quick wit, replied, "Oh, yes, there are. Ask the computer."
That's brilliant.
It highlights this crucial point that there are absolutes right and wrong, truth and falsehood. A whole heart is one that recognizes these absolutes and tries to live in line with them, even when the world says otherwise.
But sadly, Solomon doesn't seem to get there. He lets his heart become divided. 1 Kings 11.9 tells us that God is angry with him because Solomon has turned away. He's no longer walking in obedience, and the consequences are serious.
It really is heartbreaking. You know, you think about it, God appeared to Solomon twice, giving him blessings and warnings. Yet even with these direct encounters, Solomon still strayed.
It makes you wonder, did he have anyone speaking into his life? Anyone to help keep him accountable? We all need those people in our lives, right?
Absolutely. That's such a good point. It underscores how vital community is, having those people who can encourage us and help us stay on track. It reminds me of what we see in Malachi 3.1 scene, where it talks about those who feared the Lord talking to each other and finding strength in their shared faith.
Right.
We're not meant to go it alone.
It makes me think that even with powerful spiritual experiences, we need that constant connection, that daily walk with God. It can't just be a one-time thing. But even with Solomon's failure, I'm struck by the fact that God remains faithful to his promises.
That's one of the most incredible aspects of the story. God doesn't abandon his people or his plan in 1 Kings 11.13. God says he will leave one tribe for David's lineage, preserving the line that will eventually lead to the Messiah.
So even amidst judgment, there's this incredible thread of hope and faithfulness. It's almost like God is weaving a tapestry, and even the dark threads contribute to the overall beauty of the design.
Beautifully put. Dr. Oswald brings up the Hebrew words hesed and emunah, which are often translated as steadfast love and faithfulness. These ideas are central to understanding God's character. Throughout the Old Testament, he points us to Psalm 89, which is like a symphony of praise for God's unwavering commitment to his promises. It's a powerful reminder that God's faithfulness doesn't depend on us getting things right.
What a relief. Okay, so we've got these consequences playing out, but there's this bigger picture of God's plan still unfolding. Then we have the introduction of these adversaries who come against Solomon and Dad, and Rizon mentioned in 1 Kings 11.14 and 25.
And this is where we run into that age-old question about God's sovereignty and human free will.
Yeah.
Dr. Oswald uses the story of Joseph being sold into slavery on the surface. It's a horrific act by Joseph's brothers.
Right.
But God uses that very situation to orchestrate Joseph's rise to power, which eventually saves his entire family from famine.
So is God causing these adversaries to rise against Solomon, or is he working through their choices? It's kind of a head scratcher.
It really is a profound mystery. Dr. Oswald emphasizes that nothing happens outside of God's ultimate control. But that doesn't mean we're just puppets. We have real choices, and those choices have consequences. It's a paradox that we may not fully grasp this side of eternity.
It definitely makes you think. Then we're introduced to Jeroboam, who appears to be a potential successor to Solomon. He receives this powerful message and promise from God through the prophet Ahijah in 1 Kings 11.26-39.
What's striking is that God essentially offers Jeroboam a second chance, a chance to learn from Solomon's mistakes. The prophet gives him specific instructions: walk in obedience, do what is right in God's eyes, and keep his decrees and commands. It's like God is saying, here's the blueprint for success. Don't mess this up.
It's almost like an echo of what Solomon should have done, a roadmap back to that wholehearted devotion.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But here's the tragedy. Jeroboam, despite this incredible opportunity, succumbs to fear and ends up repeating many of the same mistakes as Solomon. He lets his heart be led astray, and that leads the northern tribes into idolatry and further division.
It's a sobering reminder that even when we're given clear instructions and a fresh start, our choices still matter. We can choose to trust and obey, or we can give in to our fears and desires, straying from the path God has for us. It reminds me of Dr. Oswald's closing challenge, where he said, there are no prizes given out for good beginnings. The trophies are given when you end the race.
That image really sticks with you, doesn't it? It's not enough to start well. We have to finish well, too.
So how do we do that? How do we avoid becoming another Solomon or Jeroboam? It can feel overwhelming, you know, when we think about staying the course, especially with all the distractions and temptations around us.
Right. That's where Dr. Oswald's analogy of the swamps comes in. He reminds us to be aware of the dangers lurking in our lives, those things that can drag us down and pull us away from God. But it's not just about avoiding the negative. It's about actively pursuing a life of obedience and growing closer to God. It's about seeking his wisdom in every decision we make.
So it's like we need a good map and a compass to navigate those swamps and stay on the right path.
Exactly. And thankfully, we have both the Bible as our map, giving us clear directions and principles for life.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is our compass, guiding us and prompting us when we need to course correct.
Okay.
It all comes down to that simple but profound phrase that Dr. Oswald emphasizes: trust and obey.
It sounds so simple, but in practice, it can be challenging. Life throws curveballs and we make mistakes. It's easy to get discouraged.
That's where God's grace comes in. Even when we mess up, even when we stray, his love never fails. He's always there, ready to pick us up, forgive us, and guide us back to the right path.
So even if we've taken a detour, maybe even gotten stuck in a swamp or two, it's never too late to turn around and get back on track.
Never. Dr. Oswald reminded us that God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for a heart that's truly His, a heart that's willing to trust and obey even when it's hard. And remember, transformation takes time. It's a process of continually surrendering to God's work in our lives.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Solomon's life, what are some key things we can take away and apply to our own journeys?
Well, Dr. Oswald left us with a powerful question to ponder. What are the swamps in your own life that you need to avoid? How can you ensure that you're walking with God, holding His hand, watching His eyes to do what's right in His sight?
That's a great question to keep in mind. Throughout the week, it's a call to be honest with ourselves, to take a look around and see what might be holding us back from living the life God intends for us.
And remember, this isn't just about avoiding the bad stuff. It's about actively pursuing a life of purpose and meaning, a life that honors God and reflects His goodness. It's about allowing His love to transform us from the inside out.
So to all our fellow deep divers out there, keep seeking truth, keep diving deep, and most importantly, keep walking with the one who holds the key to true wisdom. Until next time.